The recordings have started. You may begin.
All right. Thanks, JR. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the RPM PNCH subteam call on the 16th of September at 1500 UTC. On call today, one moment, please. We do have Grace Matone, Kathy Kleinman, Kirk Pritz, Susan Payne, Philip Corwin, Faibhav Agarwal, and we do have apologies from Christine Doreen, Salvador Camacho Hernandez, and Edward Morris. From staff, we have David Tate and myself, Michelle D. Snyder. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and you may begin.
Thank you, Michelle, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Noting once again also that Mary Wong is still on leave, and hopefully will be rejoining, joining us again next week. As you'll see, we have a slightly modified agenda, which is at the request of the co-chairs shortly before the start of the meeting, so it is slightly different. The order will be taking things in this afternoon. So order of the meeting is, as you'll see on the left-hand side, to begin with the review and approval of the updated tabular summary, presentation and distribution for the working group. There are two particular items that I would like that staff were tasked with going away and responding to, which I'd like to give a very brief report on before the meeting kicks off. But before we start the substantive discussion of that, but before we kick off, I'll just ask if anyone has any questions at this stage while I change my microphone. Hello, and that should make it easier for everyone to hear me now, hopefully. Great. Okay. Staff were asked to go away and look at a couple of particular items in relation to the tabulated summary. And I'd like to ask you just very briefly, if you could have a look at page 3, which is the bar chart showing the summary of monthly summarized transactions. Now, staff were asked to go back to GDV, who prepared this summary, and to find out whether or not summarized transactions, which are what's summarized in this bar chart, were the same as summarized registrations. And the information we've received is that these are, in fact, synonymous. They're the same thing. So summarized transactions is the same thing as summarized registrations. The second issue, which we've been asked to follow up on in relation to this document, is the issue of the figures from the CCTRT. Specifically, concerns have been raised that the references to .sucks are inaccurate, and therefore the suggestion, that the question is whether or not it would be necessary to go and find new data to replace that from the CCTRT. I haven't yet been able to get the a complete answer on this from our colleagues in Antoinette. If you'd like to put your hand up at any point, Antoinette. But my understanding is that that is the only data at the moment that is incorrect, and we're therefore effectively able to rely upon all of the data without having to go out and do a further search. It's just the .sucks data that had a slight error in relation to it. Therefore, the mandate to go out and look into that again and try and collect more information should hopefully no longer be required, because it's just the error is sort of self-contained. And those were the only two issues that staff were to report back on in relation to this document. Okay. therefore, Susan, you've got your hand up.
I do, thanks. Yes, sorry, Susan Payne for the record. It's just a question. I think one of the questions we'd asked, and it's not specifically on this document, but was about the monthly reports from the TMCH. I think some of the data you'd gathered related to those monthly reports, but only went back to a certain point in time, which was some time ago, possibly even only up to that May 2015 date that we were just talking about for the Sunrise transactions. And I just wondered whether there was any progress on getting hold of the more recent TMCH monthly reports.
Thanks, Susan and Kathy, just before you put your hand up, but I'll just answer this just now. Yes, we have continued endeavours to try and get hold of more up-to-date data. Unfortunately, it still isn't yet publicly available. And as soon as that happens, and as soon as we're made aware of its availability by our colleagues, we will pick it at the disposal of the working group.
Kathy, would you mind if I ask just a quick follow-up?
Not at all. I'm going to put my hand down and get in the queue behind Kurt. Because I have a going-forward
okay,
kind
you.
Of recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you. So I guess, can you elaborate, David, on the publicly available? Do you mean that the TMCH has that data, but it's not made it available to ICANN as monthly reports at all? Or is it more that it's being made available to ICANN in a particular capacity, but for whatever reason it's not available to be shared with us? And I guess if the latter, well, in either case, why is that? I mean, it would be very helpful for our work to be able to have access to that data. So I'm just trying to understand, when you say it's not publicly available, what exactly does that mean?
Sorry, Susan, just give me one moment. I'm just conferring with one of my colleagues. If you just give me a second. Hi, Susan. Thanks for being with me there. So in relation to the Sunrise transactions, there is some other data which we have received from our colleagues in GDD, and that will hopefully be available bar the most recent 3 months, will hopefully be available shortly. That's just an issue of staff having the opportunity to get that ready and sent out. And in relation to other data from the received from the providers, my understanding is that some of that data is still data is going to be made publicly available very shortly, within the next couple of weeks, and at that point. Obviously, it will be completely available to the working group.
Okay, thanks.
Kurt, can you figure?
Yeah, and actually, I want to get back behind Kathy. I was going to simply suggest that. Because I understand the Trademark Clearinghouse provides monthly reports to ICANN, I was just going to suggest that this group, maybe one of us could write a letter, you know, pen a letter for Kathy to send, you know, write to the Trademark Clearinghouse and ask them to share the monthly report information with us.
This is Kathy. I'll move forward in the queue. Kurt, it's a great idea. I'm sure the co-chairs would love to sign a letter like that, and if you think that would help kind of push the data through, that's great. So my comments have to do with this whole document, which I think is actually really helpful even as it is. So I wanted to suggest that we move this tabular summary of TMCH data to the working group. And to do that, I would recommend 4 small changes. First, an introduction. David, an introduction that this is publicly available data gathered by you and Mary for the TMCH subgroup and the working group. And say, you know, let's be very candid with what's going on. This is, you're including the most recent data that's been available. From, you know, TMCH presentations, reports to ICANN that have been published, et cetera, and that our inquiries are continuing and that as we get new information, we'll be updating this. So I would put that in an intro and let people know. Second thing I do is that information, and sorry if you've already done it and I missed it, on Sunrise transactions being the same thing as Sunrise registrations, I would add that to your notes on that page so that everyone's going to have the same question, so everyone can have the same answer. That'll be really helpful. The next thing I would do is on Roman numeral 4, the trademark claims notice, right at the top of page 7. There are 3 items right up there. I would just clarify what's in the parentheses a little bit. So the sum of TLDs with initiated claims period, and it says June 2015, I think you mean through or up to and including June 2015, and the same for the 2 items below. Because this is really, you know, important data, so, you know, then clearly more than just June 2015. So I think that will help clarify, which is great. And then the last thing I do, if it doesn't take too much time, is add a short bibliography, kind of noting some of the places, maybe not all of them, but some of the places that you found the data with links. So if people want to go see the underlying data themselves, they can do it. I don't think you have to footnote it, but just kind of a short bibliography of the types of materials you are accessing. And then I would push this out to the working group, you know, with that notice that we'll be updating this as things go on. But I think it'll help people get their hands around some of the TMCH material. I think this is exactly what we were designed, what the subgroup was designed to do, and I think it's a great product. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Are there any further comments, therefore, on item 1 on the agenda, this document? Okay, thank you. In that case, we will start to take those items away and prepare a revised draft with the appropriate introduction for circulation to the full working group. Can I just clarify, would it be the intention of the sub-team to view this document again, or are you happy to review the finalized document online rather than in a meeting?
Sorry, David, could you say that again? I didn't hear the question. This is Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy, and apologies. Hopefully it'll be clearer now. The question was just, would you like to review the finalized document again in a meeting, or would you be happy just to review it online, or just for staff to push it out once those changes have been made?
How about you take the finalized version, just circulate it to the TMCH subgroup list. If anybody else has anything to add, they'll let us know. But just quick final review, including for the co-chairs, because Jay Scott's on the TMCH subgroup list as well. And then we'll send it out.
Great. Thank you.
And actually, we might want to wait. Let's talk to the co-chairs about when we push it out to the working group, because that should be something, you know, Phil, Jay Scott, and I do together. But the idea that it's ready to go should then go up to the co-chairs, and maybe it goes in as a link to one of the upcoming slide presentations that we have, or something like that. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure I'd push it out to the working group quite yet, but soon, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be appropriate because we're still in the overview time. So that decision will go to the co-chairs. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. That's all noted on the site. So moving on to item 2, which is a review of the list of questions for finalization and distribution. Now, again, as per Kathy's earlier email, we'll be using the version which was circulated this morning by staff. So if you just bear with me for a couple of minutes, I will be pulling that up on screen. And Susan, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I guess could we talk about which version we look at? I mean, if you put up the one that was circulated by you first thing this morning, David, that's fine. But then we will be verbally, there'll be a number of questions that I would probably be trying to include in the document. You know, I as I sort of said in my response to Kathy on the email, what we had done and what Kurt circulated was an attempt to do exactly what we discussed last week and what we agreed we would do, which was identify any additional low-hanging fruit questions that we should be asking the various parties so that we're not going back to them multiple times. And we did that by going through the charter questions, identifying additional questions to ask people and putting them in. And I think it would be a mistake for us to ignore that piece of work. And I'm not just saying that because I spent time doing it. I think we have added additional questions that are valid questions to be asked and will help the wider working group answer it, what it's been tasked to do in its charter, and therefore I don't understand why we wouldn't include them.
Thanks, Susan. And just before Kathy's got her hand up, just to say it from a staff perspective, we have both documents available, so I just ask for guidance from the sub-team as to what the consensus opinion is as to which document you'd like to work from. Kathy, you've got your hand.
Yeah, here I thought we were closing a document, and yet there's more than 20 new questions that have been added, and a lot of existing questions, long existing questions, have been deleted. And so this isn't, we're not finalizing a document. We've just created a new one. So I find that surprising. So what I'd like to recommend is that we go back to the document we were finalizing that we had all worked on together. And, you know, I appreciate the work, I guess, but we're looking at a new document that just came in, really. And so I'd like to push out the document we were in the process of finalizing. I mean, we'd gone through 3 weeks of finalizing. And if we want to expand a new document, you know, create a new document with the 20-odd new questions, I mean, I think the length has just doubled. That's okay. It's a new document, and maybe we do hit these guys up a few times, or maybe we take that list of questions to the working group to help kick off, to help bring the rest of the, you know, close the document we're working on, get it out, and kick off a set of more detailed questions that the working group as a whole will help us evaluate, and that might be a great way to use, again, the 20-plus new questions that have gone in. Thanks.
Could I make a suggestion? I know you won't like it, but how about we look at the new document for want of a better description, and if anyone on this call doesn't like any of the questions that we've inserted, we could discuss taking them back out again. But it seems to me that they are all extremely valid and sensible questions for us to be asking these various parties, and it would be a less than complete job to leave them out, particularly when it's clear that they help us as a wider working group to answer our charter questions. And we strongly risk recipient malaise. Just like hitting people up a number of times is really unacceptable for the people receiving these requests.
I think hitting the working group, the subgroup up in real time with a massively changed document and then discussing it on the fly is, I mean, that's, the old document was in final stages. This is a lot to, you know, you guys have worked hard, you've seen it, but you've lived and breathed the changes. The rest of us haven't, and we do have a mandate to get a certain number of questions out.
Kathy, the old document wasn't in final form. It wasn't in final form. We talked about it on previous calls as to how best to add additional questions to it. So it wasn't in final form.
Which version are we looking at, David?
Hi, Kathy. The version that's up at the moment is the version which was circulated by Kurt this morning, but I understand that Vaibhav may have circulated one in the last few minutes, which I'm just trying to get converted into PDF to get it up on screen as well.
Yeah, then I'm looking forward to other people's comments on this. I really, at this point, I think we're in a largely new document, and should not be reviewing it on the fly. And I really think it should go to the full working group at this point, because we're doing such an array of questions that we may as well get everyone's questions at this point. I think that would be fair and appropriate.
So this is Kurt. I think that, like Kathy, I too like to hear from others in the room, because Susan and I and Christine worked on it. And so we think that the questions we added came from reviewing the charter and saying what sort of data is required to answer the questions in the charter and where are those questions not included in the existing documents. So, you know, we did that in the spirit of making this complete. So I would vote for including these questions. And if we want to skinny the list down, we can. But I really want to hear from others in the room. And I think it's a great meeting when Jeff Newman can't speak.
At this stage, would any other of the subseed members have any comments that you want?
So I think, I'll talk some more. So one of the differences in this new document is that we did some reformatting to make everything look the same. So it to a certain extent, it looks markedly different, but with some exceptions that I'm going to tell you, it's all the same questions as before with other ones added. I deleted three questions because I saw them lined out on an edited version. So I might have wrongfully assumed that it's either two or three questions were deleted because the group had decided that. But if the group didn't decide that, we can put those two or three questions back in.
Susan, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything on my own behalf, but given that there's a silence from the room at the moment, just to report that obviously Jeff has typed in the chat that he supports the updated version of the document, but he's unable to speak. And to note that Vaibhav, when he circulated a couple of comments on the document, did also point out that he liked the additions. He thought the additions to the document, as he says, are very specific and thoughtful.
Kathy, is your concern that the document's becoming too long, or is your concern that, if we don't think we can review this in the next half hour, that it's going to extend us even more and we're missing deadlines?
We're certainly missing deadlines. It also didn't go to the working group with time to review. Again, it looks like the document's doubled in size, and I'm not seeing the cross-outs. So what we're being asked to do is edit on the fly, and I don't know how other people do it. I'm, good lawyer. I look at words, I put them on paper, I print them out, and I review them, especially when stuff I wrote is being crossed out, and now it's completely out on the version that we're looking at. You can't even see the strikeout. So I think doing this on the fly, if you guys want to maybe go back to your version, Kurt, and we're seeing concerns on the list. I just went back and read some of the new postings from Vahab. I'm mispronouncing his name, sorry, concerns as well. So, other people are kind of trying to help in a constructive way, but the stuff is coming out with major changes. So maybe a way to do it is to go back to your version, Kurt, not as an accepted version of the subgroup, but as something you and Susan, unfortunately Christine can't join us, can go through and at least tell us what you were trying to do and why it's so expanded. That would certainly help. But yes, we're running really late, and we're going. It's a tough, when we thought we'd been looking at the same questions pretty much for about 3 weeks. Thanks.
Susan, you've got your hand.
Just to say again, we looked last week at the work that Christine and I had done on going through the charter questions and brainstorming what kind of data might be sought in order to meet those charter, to help answer those charter questions and who we might ask those questions of. And I completely understood the concern that you had last week about there being these two different documents that seem to be going in parallel. And so this exercise during the course of this week was basically to pick up the additional questions and move them in to the full question list, making sure that we only moved across ones we needed to and we didn't duplicate. And so that's what we've done. So these are the questions pretty much that were pulled out last week in the document that I went through with everyone. With a bit of tidying and refining with Kurt's help, we brainstormed ways of asking the question in a clearer way to try to actually get the information we were asking for.
Okay, no one else's hand is up, so this is Kathy. Again, to appreciate it, this did go out after close of business yesterday. So first, we're looking at a version, again, that doesn't have the strikeouts. Those strikeouts are really important because key terms are being changed, key questions, frankly, are being deleted. So if we're going to talk about it, I recommend we go back to Kurt's version.
I'm completely happy to work from the red line. I have no problem with that.
The full red line, because this is whatever we're looking at on here. And David, I know you said, I don't know what Vaibhav did to it, and that's one of the things that we'll have to cross compare, and that's why it's hard to work with red lines with so little time, because we want to include everybody's, but I would go back to the version that had strikeouts. And rather than accepting or rejecting anything, unless Susan, Kurt, if you guys are amenable, let's just do a walkthrough, because it does have a sense of a very new document to me. And if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. If you just give me a couple of moments to upload the redline version of Kurt's document, then that should allow us to briefly do the walk.
And it's not really Kurt's document, it's really Christine's and Susan's document. And Kurt, because of his time zone position, made the last set of changes. So, David, is this a PDF?
Kurt, yes, it is. PDFs in Adobe Connect are the best way to view documents, so it is up as a PDF.
Yeah, the problem is that with some of the edits and comments, they're truncated, you know, in this format, and so we might not be able to see them all, but we'll give it a try.
Kurt, right now, okay. The document on the screen, this is Kathy, is corresponding to the printout that I did of, I'm going to call it your document as a shorthand. So I'm seeing everything on the comments and the strikeouts from the printout I did up on the screen. So
yep.
At least in this early stuff, I think we've got most of it. Thanks.
Oh, okay. This is good. This is like in draft view.
Okay, so let's talk about formats. This is Kathy. I have questions about just, you know, the opening questions for new GTLD registries and the edits, but maybe in the interest of time, it would be good to do a walkthrough so that rather than editing on the fly, which I had already said I didn't want to do, you walk us through, especially when we get to the new entire pages of new questions. So that might be good to kind of move quickly to the new material so that we can analyze this for next week. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Great. Anybody object? Okay. And David, we control these slides. Okay. So why don't Susan, Kurt, can you guys just, I really appreciate it. Just walk us through and help us understand what's going on. Thanks.
Okay, shall I start, Kurt?
Sure.
Okay. Well, so if we focus on the ones that are kind of new, if you like, but addressing your comment, first of all, Kathy, about something having got deleted, and I think probably bullet point two here on the questions for registries is probably one of those, which I think, as Kurt was saying, I think because I had previously been saying I thought this was an inappropriate question, I think Kurt may have deleted this, but I acknowledge that I don't think that was an agreed deletion. I personally believe it should come out, but I know that there was a debate about that. So probably that one is one which some people feel it's helpful to ask.
Cool. And Kathy, this is Kathy. Preview of coming attractions. What I'm going to do is move, since we have a new bullet point three, if you don't count the deletion, I'm going to move, which is trying to get to specifying, narrowing the question for registries. I'm going to take part of that deleted bullet and put it into this question about anchor tenants so that we can get some more information about what we said we wanted, which was specific incidents of anchor tenants or pioneers who were unwilling to proceed with registration that and why. If the registries happen to have actual information. So that's why the strikeout's so valuable, because we can see, well, we meant to strike it out as a general question, but really it helps to modify a clarification that Jeff put in. Thanks.
Okay. And then moving on, beyond the anchor tenant question, there's the next question, and I'm sorry, I don't have I may not be certain. Some of these may have been ones that were redlined anyway. It's hard from the red lines to tell who's
the third. The third bullet, I just reworded that because we were, if you read the question, we were just asking a yes or no question. So I added that question to ask for the data if they're willing, rather than would you be willing to? So it's just it's the same question. It's just reworded. Go ahead, Susan. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, hang on. I'm gonna just. I'm just gonna go to a soft copy. It's gonna be easier, I think. Okay, so not sure what number bullet to call it, but below the anchor tenants one, there's a new one in blue, which is about have you used the TMCH option to limit registrations by goods or services in particular registration period. And this was seeking to understand whether the extent to which some of the available limitations that could be put on the scope of a registration have actually been utilized by people. So there is an opportunity within the TMCH to take into account the goods or services covered. And so we wanted to understand whether registries had been utilizing that in terms of limitations of the qualification for registration for people who are seeking registration in Sunrise. The final one, Kurt, I think the next one is one of your additions, so maybe.
I think so unilaterally I put a catch-all question in there to see if they wanted to tell us anything else, because sometimes I'm asked questions and I think, boy, they didn't ask me the question that they really needed to, so I put that there.
Okay. Thank you. So moving on, this is questions for registries which are offering blocks or PPMLs. PPML is the term that we have coined in this working group. I personally feel that's unnecessary to be creating yet another acronym in such an acronym-heavy environment. And that if we use the term blocking mechanism, or even indeed if we use the term DPML, everyone will know what we're talking about, because this is a question that's going to specific registries who have these offerings. But, question for the group, whether they think it matters. But the one that's in green, please describe what you're able to block with the SMD file. That's just a movement from somewhere else rather than a new question. I think that one was already there. The bullet below, we were seeking to just clarify an existing question in terms of to try to actually elicit the information that, the registry who runs the blocking mechanism would be likely to have. Bearing in mind that, that it's very unlikely that a registry would know what a, brand owner is planning to do. So a question that just says, do you know of anyone who only used the TMCH to take part in, to utilize the blocking mechanism? It's highly unlikely that, the registry would know the answer to that, but, we didn't want to delete that question altogether, so we were trying to phrase it in a way which just elicited that information if it was available. However, likelihood is it, they don't have that information. The next one is deleted. And that is because essentially the collective questions that we are asking the registry are eliciting information about the impact of, their DPML mechanisms and what the responses are, but I don't think it's accurate to be talking about a chilling mechanism as, being something which exists when we're asking this question for data, you know, for information for data. That presupposes a chilling effect. And the question, frankly, there's nothing that a registry can answer to that question. So, you know, what we're asking them is around, you know, who's utilized their DPML and, what they've done, you know, what brand owners have done with them and, how much use there's been and so on. And that is the data that, we're seeking to gather. It will then be for the working group to work out whether that data supports or, otherwise any, interpretation about whether or not there's a chilling effect. Hence the deletion, or proposed deletion, I should say. Okay. Moving on, the rest of them are, again, quite a lot of, essentially, the rest of the questions to the DPML, or PPML service providers, is around trying to clarify the question, to make it more understandable what we're seeking from them and to seek to get from them information that they can provide. You know, so for example, how do you structure your PPML? Well, we tried to expand on that question so it's understandable and, we get some answer.
Can I make a comment, Susan?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, so one of the changes I made in here is where there were sort of repetitive questions, I move them together, you know, I move some of the information together to make them sort of compound questions. So I didn't want to delete either I certainly didn't want to delete an old question or an existing question. And, but thought there might be value in asking the question a different way to make it clear. So that's why, a couple of these are either compound with or, you know, with an explanation with an IE. That was really getting rid of redundancies and combining them into one. So not changing any of the original question, but just elaborating on it.
Lovely. Thanks, Kurt. At this point, does anyone have any questions? Or shall we keep going?
I have a question, Mrs.
Okay.
Kathy. Is there anyone else in the queue? I'm looking at a blown-up version, so I don't see the queue.
No.
Okay. Kurt, or Susan, so under registrars, questions for registrars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is one of the consolidated questions. What would you like to see improved about the claims notice that you believe will, first subpoint, assist legitimate users to move forward with the registrations and why? I get that, but what I don't understand, could you help me understand the parentheses? What problem would your suggestion be solving? What does that mean? Thanks. And should we add the same thing then to the bullet below once we understand it. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's right, Kathy. Maybe we move the. And I'm not sure who wrote the what problem would we be solving, because it was part of a question that was just moved. So, but I think you're right. We'd move that what problem would it be solving up into the heading or something like that, so it covers all the bullet points.
Or just delete it, because I'm not sure we know what it means. I just thought I was just parsing. If you move it up to the top, I'm not sure that clarifies. Anyway, thanks.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that too.
I think it's just to try to get fuller information. You know, because if you say something like, "What would you like to see improved about the claims notice?" You might, you know, you could get a sort of range of responses. But as we've discovered from the charter questions as well, you know, sometimes you look at the charter question and you're like, okay, you know, someone clearly had something in their mind that they felt needed addressing, but because of the way the charter question has been phrased, you actually sit there then having to try and work out what it is they're getting at. And so that was the reason for trying to have this kind of wording in there, so that, you know, don't just tell us what you'd like to see improved, but kind of explain why.
Okay. So please explain why. That makes sense and seems to apply to all the subpoints then. Thanks for the clarification. So I'd move that parenthesis. I like that idea. Please explain why, maybe at the top or the bottom. Probably an instruction to David at this point. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I think we missed a couple at the start of the registrar section, but to be honest, the first bullet, which looks new, is really, I think, essentially a kind of rephrasing of what is marked as blocked out in the subsequent one. So it was about trying to elicit information about people who have been using, this suspicion that TMCH data might be being used for other purposes, or or are there other uses of the data effectively? So I think we felt that was just a restatement.
That was in the registry section, and I repeated it in the registrar section.
Exactly.
I think
yes.
For registrars.
Exactly. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for reminding me. Kurt, you have a comment on the bullet point about the rate of cart abandonment. I don't know if that needs to be discussed. Or shall we move
on? I'm putting myself on mute. So the way I envisioned this running was that Kathy and Susan and I, and now Mr. Agarwal, have made comments which are essentially questions. And so the way I thought the finalization would run would be to sort of get rid of the changes and then be left with a list of questions. So all the comments are in this document are questions that we have that still need to be answered, you know, should be answered before we ship the document off as final. So,
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
And in some cases, I think in this version of the document, some of the comments are incorporated. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not able to read it and comment on it right now.
This is Kathy. Can I make a suggestion with 5 minutes to go? And I appreciate the deep dive, particularly Susan, that you're giving, and Kurt, the commentary. Could you guys run through some of the new there are pages of new questions? Maybe that would be a great thing to run through in the next 5 minutes, is kind of hitting the new materials. Not necessarily with a huge explanation, but kind of where it came from. That would probably help us get our hands around what's come into the document, unless anybody objects.
So I'll make an introductory comment and turn it over to Susan, and that is, in addition to this document, we also sent around the list of questions as derived from the charter. So that's sort of the Rosetta Stone for describing where the questions come from, because the charter questions are written there, and underneath each one of those are these new questions. But because, you know, we were actually trying to please you, Kathy. We cut and pasted those questions out of the charter document into this one, so everything would be into one. So that document will, that other document will tell us where each one of these questions came from, but they're the direct result of reading the charter question and trying to figure out what data would help us answer that question.
Okay. Yes, exactly. And so moving very swiftly on page 4, for example, so we've got a series of bullets in blue. And the first one is, are there examples of trademark terms not being made available to brand owners in the Sunrise period on the basis that they were blocked or reserved? And that one was a question that came out of the charter question 2, which says, is the protection of the TMCH too broad? Is the TMCH providing too much protection for those with trademarks on a generic or descriptive dictionary word? So we've got that gave rise to essentially then using that charter question, we were looking at what data do we need to be asking these people in order to try and answer that charter question. So that's the first one that came from that. And I would have to dot around the document to find other questions that came from that charter question, but I'm just going to move down the list. How many Sunrise registrations were attempted and not completed because the name was reserved? I think that was probably going to the same point, because we felt we should look at both sides of the coin, if you like. If we're going to look at if we're going to look at whether the protection is too broad or not, there are two sides to that. You know, there are, you know, is there a descriptive dictionary word which has been blocked? You know, are there people who have, you know, whether the trademark owner or someone else who's been trying to register that term and been unable to? So we were trying to address both sides of the coin. Back to my questions. Again, this is probably largely going to the same point. Are there examples of claims notices being received in relation to dictionary words? In a context where the use would be generic in the context of the TLD, and we tried to give an example to help people get their head around it. So we were saying, so for example, the trademark pink, it's in certain contexts, having a hypothetical trademark pink would be a perfectly valid trademark to have registered, but within the TLD color, that then looks like a generic descriptive term which someone else might quite legitimately feel that they were being blocked from using, and so that was what we're trying to elicit information about. Then we added an additional question about part abandonment to try to also look at that, to sort of expand on that. We've actually got a question further up about cart abandonment, and it may be that it's helpful to have them together. And then we've got charter questions. Can't remember off the top of my head. Number 3, the charter question was, should the TM plus 50 be reversed? And so some of the data that we're seeking in relation to that would come from the Trademark Clearinghouse. But in relation to the registrars, we felt it was a sensible thing to be asking registrars how many TM plus 50 claims notices have been issued and what happened as a result of them.
Quick question, Kathy, for Susan. I've never seen a TM plus 50 claims notice. I wish I had, but are they different? Would the registrars know?
They would know in relation to the term, I think. I don't think the notice per se would, I mean, I think the same notice would issue, but it would be in relation to a term that wasn't the trademark term, if you know what I mean.
So, like some of the typos of Yahoo and Adobe that I talked about this week in the TMCH presentation. Interesting. Does anybody know if the registrars keep track of this information? I mean, are we asking them a question they have the data for?
No, I don't think we do know. I don't think we know who else would have the data if they don't. So to the extent that the data is there, I think the people who would have it would probably be the registrars, and to some extent the TMCH would have some data about this. But the TMCH would probably may know how many were issued, but they probably wouldn't know what the outcome was.
Interesting. So it might be worth asking, is this the type of data that you track? Question for everyone, including Susan. Should we push forward or continue next week? We're at time now at the top of the hour.
Well, we're losing a lot of people. We lost Jeff and we lost Phil.
Perhaps best to continue next week? You guys did an enormous amount of work.
I think if people have the time in the course of the week to skim through the questions, particularly if they have the time, and can bear to wade through the red line, which is not as easy to read as the other cleaner versions, but obviously is the more complete. I think it would be clear that I hope it would be clear to most people that these are not kind of these are not inappropriate questions, if you like, that they're reasonable ones to ask, and they follow quite nicely on from other questions we were already asking, so that maybe it won't take us too long on a subsequent call.
This is Kathy. I don't think so, although there may be questions. People may have questions as they look at the questions for TMCH providers, which also has a page of new questions. That may be a good place for us to start next week and finish up the introduction, because there is so much new material there. And people may have questions. So I throw that out as a possibility for starting next week. But Kurt, as Kurt mentioned, and I guess now that I'm back in the room, I can see people are dropping off. So maybe best to continue next week?
Okay.
Cool. And hopefully Christine and her laptop will be with us, and her car. David, I guess we hand it back to you and to anyone else that has additional thoughts.
Thanks, Kathy. Just noting that Kurt has asked for a couple of moments before the end.
So in formulating these questions, we came up with one question that we had nobody to ask. It requires some research. So I think Susan and I kind of thought that maybe staff could undertake this, but with the charter, one of the charter questions is: should the clearinghouse matching rules be expanded to include plurals, marks contained, or mark plus keywords, and/or common typos of a mark? And one of the data points we thought would be good would be to look at URS and UDRP proceedings to see where there were decisions made on mark plus keyword registrations or typos or plurals and the like. And so what that is really a scan of the US or UDRP proceedings. And that's either a reasonable task if we just look at the new GTLDs, or a huge task if we go back in history some. But just to keep this to 10 more seconds, we were wondering if staff could find someone to either hire them, or you guys do it, to kind of do this analysis of URS UDRP proceedings on mark plus keyword or mark plus plural and stuff like that. And I'd be happy to flesh it out in an email if you think it's something we could do. But it's not something we could ask somebody. It's just in the URS and UDRP records that are public.
Kurt, thanks for that. Just noting Kathy's comment that anything involving hiring, we'd have to go back to the coaches and work. Perhaps as a starting point, staff could just do, see if it's something possibly that we can just do a pass on
and evaluate the task. So could I ask perhaps as a precursor to that, if you could formulate that into a question for staff to look at with a view to reporting back on whether or not next week, whether or not it's something that's achievable just by myself or Mary.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Great. With that in mind, thank you to everyone for sticking around a little longer. The meeting next week is, again, at the same time, I think I'm correct in saying, and Michelle, please correct me if I'm wrong, but at 1500 UTC next Friday. The action list will be circulated shortly, and thank you to everyone, and please enjoy your weekend.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Then adjourned. Operator, please stop the recording. Disconnect the remaining lines. Have a great remaining.